We are. All right. So one shayla sent in was, are you allowed to use a water filter on Shabbos? This is something either you put directly on to your sink, your faucet, a filter directly on the faucet, or the separate Brita filters. Are you allowed to use those filters on Shabbos? Hello, you start again. So the correct answer is yes, you are, unless the water is just not drinkable without it. So if there is a slight improvement, you like it better with it, but it's drinkable even without it, so then you are allowed to use those filters. If you live in a third world country, or you live in an area where the water is just not drinkable, only through this filter it's drinkable, so then that would be a problem. But otherwise, in most civilized cities and countries that we live in, it should be no problem to use the filter. Another Shabbos sentence was, what are you allowed to daven for on Shabbos? Right? It's brought down in halacha, you're not allowed to ask bakashas, personal requests, on Shabbos. What does that mean? What does that include? So it goes like this. Because it's Shabbos, we don't want to be in any tzar, no pain. We don't want anything that will bother us or affect negatively our Shabbos. Therefore, you're not allowed to request anything that will bring up pain, that will cause you to be thinking about things that will cause you to suffer. And therefore, you cannot ask for things like that. However, if it's something which you daven for every day, whether you're davening for parnasa, for health, for nothing specific, just like the generic things that you always daven for, so by davening for them, it's not going to cause you any pain. It's not going to afflict you in any way. And therefore, you can daven for them. So it's really something which is just raw, something that you're like in the middle of. You got a phone call right before Shabbos about a certain issue, and it's really going to bother you to bring that issue up on Shabbos. So then you should not bring that issue up on Shabbos. If, however, it's not going to cause you pain, then it's fine. So the rule is no personal requests on Shabbos, but the exceptions are many. And it really boils down to what will cause you pain and what will not cause you pain. Okay, and then the last thing, was Kiddush. I got a phone call right before Shabbos last week. Someone felt a little bit weak. Are they allowed to eat before Kiddush, right? They're about to light the candles. They're not gonna have the suitor for like an hour. Are you allowed to eat before Kiddush? And the rule is Friday night and Shabbos day, from the moment that you become chayv in Kiddush, you cannot eat or drink anything. Now, if you need medicine, that's fine. If it's Shabbos day, you didn't daven yet, that's fine. But Shabbos day from once you daven and on, or Friday night from once you light candles, or at least from sunset and on, you cannot eat anything or drink anything. So if you're weak, if you're pregnant, if you're nursing, if you're not feeling good, you still can't eat. What you could do, what you should do, is just make Kiddush. And therefore, I recommend anyone who is feeling a little bit weak or sick or et cetera, whenever you need, make Kiddush. And you can, the best would be to wash on bread, on Lecha Mishnah. But if you can't do that, it's fine. And just go ahead and have mezainis, have two cookies, two ragalach, that you need Kiddush in Makom Suda. So therefore, make Kiddush and then have some mezonos. And then you can eat whatever you want. But to eat before Kiddush would be a problem. Okay, so those were some of the shots sent in. Now we'll get to tonight's scheduled program. Right, so we're discussing Slichos and Rosh Hashanah. So for the Sfaradim, they have already started saying Slichos. The Ashkenazim start saying Slichos at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. This year, Rosh Hashanah is Monday night. So we'll be starting saying Slichos the Saturday night, the month of Shabbos before that. And therefore, the Ashkenazim will be saying around 8 days of Slichos this year before Rosh Hashanah. The idea behind Slichos is to check ourselves. We're about to go into Yom HaDin. We want to check ourselves in advance to make sure that we are fit, proper, ready to go into Rosh Hashanah. The same way you check a carbon before you bring it for a carbon. So also, we have to check ourselves. So that's the idea behind Slichos. The ideal time to say Slichos is either from Chatzos at night and on, around 12:30 and on at night, or in the morning before Netzachama. Those are the ideal times. But you could say slichos any other time. The worst time to say slichos is from sunset until chatzos. That's the worst time to say it. It should be avoided try to say it any other time. You can say slichos by yourself, even if without a minion. Just if you do that, you should not say the yud gimel midos. You should skip that. Or if you want, you can lay it from a chumash. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum mechanun. So if you are dining slichos by yourself, that's what you should do. So so you could do slichos by yourself, but you would have to skip that. Hello, doctor. And hello, Yosef. So we're discussing now slichos. So you should say with a minion if you could, because then you could say the yud gimel midos. But if you can't, that's okay, and still say the slichos. And again, we said the ideal time is from chatzos night and on. Before Netzachama is the ideal time, but you could say slichos anytime. And you do not need to say Birch Satir before slichos. So let's say you wake up early and you're running late and the minion's starting. You do not need to say Birch Satir beforehand. However, it's a good idea if you could, but you do not need to. But just make sure you remember to say it afterwards. And if you do say slichos early, make sure you don't make a bracha on your talis or your tzitzis. You cannot make a bracha on talis or tzitzis if it's dark before Misha Yakir, which is about an hour before Nates. So just keep that in mind. You wake up, you're fuzzy, you don't know where you are. Just don't make a bracha on tzitzis if it's not the appropriate time. Now, if you're in the middle of slichos and the tzibur gets up to the yud gimel midos, Hashem, Hashem, stop what you're saying, jump to the yud gimel midos, say it with them, and then go back to where you were. And that is a wrap on slichos. Okay, so we'll be starting Matzi Shabbos in a week. That means we still have another 8 days around then until we start. But then, here we go, Rosh Hashanah. So, the rules of Rosh Hashanah. We'll start with Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say slichos. It's very, very long, the slichos. And we do say tachanun at those slichos. But at Shachris of Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't say slichos. So it'll be very interesting. 1 hour apart from the slichos to the tachanun, we will not say tachanun. Sorry, we will not say tachanun by slichos. But yes, tachanun by Shachris. It's a minhag to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah up until Chatzos, not the whole day. But up until Chatzos, you do not need to fast by Mincha. You do not say Aneinu. So you can fast until Chatzos. Then if you want, then you can eat. And then Daven Mincha. We do not pull a shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, we treat it like an Erev Yontif. Get a haircut, shower, laundry. You want to look good for Rosh Hashanah. Even though perhaps you could be scared, we're going to the Yom HaDin. A lot happens on the Yom HaDin. But still, on Rosh Hashanah, we act as if we are confident that Hashem will take care of us, because we are, and therefore we get dressed in our finest. There's a minhag to go to the mikvah, so those who are able to, you should try to go to the mikvah. Some people go to the cemeteries to daven by holy people, to get them to help daven for you on Rosh Hashanah. That's fine, but remember, we're not davening to the dead people. We're trying to ask the dead people to daven for us, invoke rachamim for us and shemayim. And there's a minhag to do hataras nedarim, right, in front of three people to nullify any vow you have made. Those three people can be any three people. They could be relatives. They do not need to be learned. They should just be three people who know that they're coming to nullify your vows. If you have a specific vow that you took, a specific neder that you made, you should tell one of those three, I made this neder, and I want to nullify it. If it's just generic, that's fine. But if you have something in mind, you should tell at least one of the dayanim. The minhag is women do not do this. So if you want to, women could. But the minhag, hello Yuri, who's right on time. The minhag is that women do not do it. But if you want, if a woman has a specific neder in mind that she made, so then she could or should do it, or have her husband do it for her. So a woman could appoint a husband to be a shliach for her. But again, they don't have to do it. They rely on Kol Nidre. By Kol Nidre, you have in mind any neder that you made, you want to nullify anyway. So the women rely on that. But again, if there's something specific, so then they should. Okay, that is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now we get to Rosh Hashanah. So there are a lot of changes in davening during the whole Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, starting with Rosh Hashanah. The most prominent is saying HaMelech HaKadosh. If you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh, or you're not sure if you said HaMelech HaKadosh, you repeat from Esrei. HaMelech HaMishpat, which we say during the week. So if you're a Svaradi, if you mess that up, you do repeat from Esrei. If you're Ashkenazi, if you mess that up, you do not repeat from Esrei. So that they made a difference between Ashkenazi and Svaradi by HaMelech HaMishpat. On Rosh Hashanah itself, if you do not know if you said HaMelech HaKadosh, we assume you did, because we're dying from a machzer. So I recommend everyone, even if you think you know Rosh Hashanah davening by heart, don't use a machzer instead, because the law changes and we will assume that you did whatever the machzer said. So therefore, if looking back, you say, oh, you know what? I don't know if I said HaKel HaKadosh HaMelech HaKadosh. If you daven from the machzer, we'll assume you did. If you did not daven from the machzer, we will assume you did not. All the other things we added to Shimon Esrei, Zachrein L'chaim, et cetera, those things are not ma'akev, which means if you forgot them, you do not repeat Shimon Esrei. Some people had a minute to daven loud on Rosh Hashanah, which is very nice if you daven by yourself. But if you're davening in a minyan, it's not so nice. You should not be that guy that is disruptive, davening so loud that everyone hears what's going on in his life. But you should not daven loud enough to disturb your neighbors. You can cry, that's fine. You can daven for anything. On Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to make any requests, as we spoke about earlier today. On Shabbos, you don't make requests that may pain you. But on Rosh Hashanah, everything goes. Whatever you want to request, whatever you want to ask for, it's mutter. You should, you could ask for anything. Now, the minhag is after davening Rosh Hashanah, we say, the Shana Tova Tikasev V'Sei Chaseim, that we're davening, giving people bracha, that they should be written and sealed. But from the first day and on, we don't say that. We assume everyone has already been written for the good and sealed. So we just say Gujantiv, Shana Tova, good year, things like that. Okay, here we go. Now, the meal time. Okay, so the night, first night of the meal, first night of Rosh Hashanah, the meal is perhaps, besides Leil HaSeder, one of the trickiest meals around, because we try to do a few things. So first it starts with dipping the challah in the honey. That's great. Some people do both milk and honey. Cross that off. Do salt and honey. Some will do both. You don't have to do salt, but some do both. That's fine. Whatever your minhag is, it's fine. If you don't know what your minhag is, make it up. It doesn't matter so much. Definitely dip it in honey. And if you want, you can dip in salt as well. Then comes the apples and all the other simanim. So there's a big shaila in halacha, because the apples we love, we look forward to, we sing songs about, but the dates are one of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. So really the date should come first, but how can we do the dates before the apple? Like the apple is like part of the, you know, that's the religion. Also, when we bring out the fenugreek or whatever that is, or the cabbage or the carrots, there's a shayla that you're supposed to make a bracha on them. Normally we don't make a bracha on the vegetables in the meal, but this is not really part of the meal. This is like not part of the meal. So there's a big fight, a big shayla, what the right thing to do is. I'll tell you what I recommend, and you do whatever you want to do. What I recommend is have nothing on the table except for the apple. Don't have any of the other simanim on the table, just the apple. And therefore, the date is not in front of you. If the date's not in front of you, you don't need to make a bracha on it. So therefore, have the apple. Make a ha'etz on this apple, and have in mind all of the future ha'etzes that you'll be eating at this meal, to include the date and everything else. But you, so you make the bracha ha'etz. Dip the apple in the honey, make the bracha ha'etz, take a bite, and after you bit and swallowed, then you say the yiratzon mefanacha, that it should be a sweet new year. So you ha'etz, have everything in mind, bite, swallow, yiratzon mefanacha. Then bring a hadama that you make a bracha on. For example, a banana or a watermelon or a cantaloupe, any other melon that's definitely not part of the meal, make a hadama on that. Have in mind all the future hadamas. At that moment, you have covered all the bracha rishonas that you may need to make. Then you bring out all the rest of simanim. And then go and eat those simanim however you like to eat them. Okay, and then by each simon, you say the Yehi Ratzon with Hashem's name. If you do not like eating the stuff, if you don't like eating dates or fenugreeks or leeks or cabbage or pumpkin or whatever else you end up trying to eat, or beets, You do not need to eat them. There's no chiyuv to eat any of this stuff. But what you could do is say the yiratzon, even if you don't eat it. So the yiratzon, which is a tefillah, dying for a good new year, for in all different types of areas, you can do that even if you eat none of these simanim. So if you forgot to buy them, you could still say the yiratzon. If you don't want to eat them, you could still say the yiratzon. Okay, now there is a minhag not to eat nuts or spicy things or bitter things. There's different minhagim, peanuts, whatever your minhag is, follow it. Some people don't have horseradish because it's too sharp. So whatever your minhag is, that's fine. Then there is a minhag first day of Rosh Hashanah to say tashlich. Right? So tashlich is ideally said by running water with fish. Somehow there's never fish, there's never running water. It's fine. You can say tashlich whenever you want, wherever you want, which means if the first day of Yom Tov, you find yourself by running water with fish, great, say tashlich. If you're not going to be by any running water and there's no fish around, you can say tashlich at your dining room table. It's fine. So if you know you can be by water during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so wait till say tashlich till then, go to the running water. That's our minhag. If you're not going to be near any water with fish anyway, so say tashlich the first day of Rosh Hashanah at your dining room table. If you forget to say tashlich, and no problem, you can say tashlich up until Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, so again, you can say it anytime from the first day of Rosh Hashanah and on up until Hoshana Rabbah, and you can say it anywhere, even though it is a minhag and ideal to say it by water with fish. Now, there's a minhag that people have not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because it's a bad simon for the whole year. If you go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to have a sleepy year. So it is a real thing. It's brought down in halacha. However, if the choices are davening, saying tehillim, and learning, or sleeping, so then you should daven, learn, say tehillim. But if the choice is staying up, talking lashon hara, schmoozing about people, not learning, reading magazines, so then you know what? Better to go to sleep. That's a better use of your time on Rosh Hashanah. The idea is we want to use our time wisely. So if for you, you're tired, and you're not going to be able to daven or learn anymore anyway, go to sleep. If you could use that time just saying tehillim the whole afternoon, that's the best. Go for that. Say tehillim or learn. But if it's a choice of wasting time or sleeping, go for sleeping. However, let me add one more thing. Some say that this idea of not sleeping starts not just in the afternoon. It really starts from sunrise. And therefore, what I recommend is even if you're going to daven at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, you should get up at sunrise. Even if you're not going to daven then, better to be up at sunrise and start saying Tehillim and learning then, because the idea is the judgment on Rosh Hashanah starts from sunrise and on. Some say it's in the afternoon also. So we don't want to sleep during judgment time. So therefore, if you have a choice of being up from sunrise and on and sleeping in the afternoon, that's better than sleeping from sunrise and on and then being awake in the afternoon. So if you could do one, do both. Be up from sunrise and the whole day, that's the best. But if you can't do that, better to be up from sunrise and on and then sleep in the afternoon if you need to. Okay, that's as far as sleep goes. We dip the challah in honey starting from the first night of Rosh Hashanah all the way until Hoshana Rabbah, Simchas Torah, until some people do until Shabbos Bereishis. Again, there's no chiv, it's not ma'akev, you're still a good fine Jew if you don't dip it in honey. But that is a minhag to do that. We do not say Hallel Rosh Hashanah. We do say Avinu Malkeinu. You're allowed to cry on Rosh Hashanah and daven for everything. An important thing which I try to remind people, when the Aron HaKodesh is open during davening, you do not need to stand up. It's not, a lot of Sidurim say, okay, you must stand now. It's not true. The only time you have to stand is when the Sefer Torah is being moved, when it's taken out of the Aron HaKodesh and being paraded or walked around the shul. However, when the Aron HaKodesh alone is just opened up, you do not need to stand. Now, you're allowed to stand, and it's fine if you want to stand, but you do not have to stand. And people mix that up. If the Aron is closed and the Sefer Torah is being moved, you have to stand. If the Aron is open and the Sefer Torah is being moved, you have to stand. But if the Aron is open and the Sefer Torah is not being moved, you do not need to stand. Okay? So keep that in mind when you're tired and everyone else is standing because the Aron is open, you could be that guy that does not have to stand. Okay, now moving on to Hilchas Sofer. All right, Hilchas Sofer. So the halacha is women are pater from Hilchas Sofer. However, the minhag is women do go and hear it. If you are Ashkenazi, you make a brach on it. If you are Svaradi, you do not make a brach on it. Like all the other mitzvah, asei, shezman, gramas. And so you'll find sometimes they'll blow shofar special for women. So sometimes they'll make the bracha, sometimes they won't. But you, if you are Ashkenazi lady, you should make the bracha in advance. But now, for men and women, if you did not make a bracha, let's say you just came into shul and they started blowing and you missed the bracha, it's not ma'akid. You're still yotze, your mitzvah completely, even without the bracha. So ideally, you want to be in shul in time and you want to hear the bracha. But if for whatever reason you did not hear the bracha, does not matter. You're still yotze, the mitzvah of shofar. If you have an opportunity to make the bracha, then you should. As long as you will be hearing from the point that you want to make the bracha and on 30 more shofar blows, so you can make the bracha then. So if you miss the first set, the bracha, make the bracha before the second set or before the third set, that's fine. We have to hear 30 toilets. And once you make the bracha, once you start hearing the shofar, you're not allowed to interrupt with anything. So you hear the bracha, you make the bracha, you hear the shofar, don't interrupt. If you need to go to the bathroom, you can say Asher Yatzar. That's not considered interruption, but no schmoozing with your friends and learning. You can only learn with your eyes, no verbally saying anything, because you don't want to make any interruption from the bracha and the first kol until the last 100. Right, we aim for 100, but the idea, you have to have 30, and we aim for 100. Also important is no sitting down or leaning while listening to the shofar. While the shofar is being blown, you must be standing upright, no leaning on anything. If you want to put your hand on something, that's fine, but you shouldn't be leaning, putting any of your weight or a significant amount of your weight on anything else, because that's like you're sitting. We make a shechianu both days on the shofar. The Sephardim do not make a Shechianu on both days. I believe they make a Shechianu on the first day, but Ashkenazim do make a Shechianu on both days of shofar blowing. And that is that. Now, there's a shaila if you're allowed to eat before the shofar. Different minhagim, different shitas. Normally, the way it goes is minyanim that daven long will take a break and eat, and that's fine. Minyanim that don't daven long do not take a break, and that's fine. The idea is, though, even if you're going to take a break and eat, you should not have sudas. You should not have major meals. You have a few rugalach, that's fine. A coffee, that's fine. You shouldn't be bringing out no washing. Do not have the whole pound cake. You should eat enough that you should be able to daven the rest of davening. Fine. Now, yeah. When you're hearing the shofar, you want to not space out. You want to be focused hearing the shofar. If you space out and like you didn't hear it, so that's not good. You need to just be tuned in for 30 kolos, at least hearing it. Now, what you should be having in mind is that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear the shofar. That's what you should be having in mind. There are other kavanas that you could have in mind, but that's the baseline. Have in mind that you are doing the mitzvah, I say d'oraisa of shofar. Do not worry if the shofar blow is kosher or not. That's not your job. That you rely on the rabbi and the one who's blowing the shofar. So sometimes you hear something, you say, oh, that wasn't really good. And they move on because it was good. It's none of your business. You can just trust them and rely on them. And you should have in mind that whatever they're blowing is what you're having in mind. Meaning sometimes they're blowing a tekiah, a trua, the first tekiah, the last tekiah. You don't know what they're up to. Doesn't matter. Your job is just to have in mind, whatever they do is fine for me. And you're relying on them. You should not want to daven in a shul that has an echo, because if you hear the shofar through an echo, that's a problem. And you want to hear the beginning and end of each kol. Meaning just because he's blowing shofar and he's like blowing for 8 minutes straight, you need to hear the beginning and the end of each one. It's not enough just to hear a certain amount of it. You need to hear the beginning and end of each blow. Okay, so now that is... those are the halachas of shofar. Yeah. So sometimes if you miss shofar and you're going to ask someone to blow for you afterwards, so that person may not want to make a bracha for you and perhaps shouldn't make a bracha for you. So if you need a special tekiah blowing, so whoever needs it, he'll be the one that will make the bracha and not necessarily the guy who's blowing. And therefore, it happens a lot by the women's blowing. Sometimes they're going to just start blowing without the bracha. You should just say, tell me 1 second, 5 seconds before you're going to start blowing, because I will make a bracha for me and for anyone else that's there. Okay, in Musaf, we have a lot of psukim. Musaf is very long. Have in mind, use a machzer. You do not want to daven Musaf by yourself, meaning without a minion, in the first 3 hours of the day. So if you find yourself without a minion on Rosh Hashanah, you daven everything, just Musaf should not be started until after the first 3 hours of the day. Aleinu, during Chazar Sashatz, right, the minute is we all go down to the floor and bow. You want to put something between your face and the floor. You do not want to have your face directly on the floor, not for cleanliness purposes, but for other reasons, and therefore have a tissue, have a towel, have something. As far as women going down during Aleinu, the minute is women do not go all the way down during Aleinu. If you happen to be in a shul where all the women are going down, so you go down also. But if that's not what's happening and there's just a few interesting people that are going down, do not be one of them and you do not go all the way down. Okay, that is as far as Aleinu. If you forget Yalav Yabo in benching or Hashanah, it's a big debate, but we do not repeat. So try not to forget, but if you do forget Yalav Yabo and Hashanah benching, you do not repeat the benching. And now the second night of Rosh Hashanah is a big shayla if you make a Shechianu in Kiddush. We do. We do make a Shechianu, but we try to get a new fruit or a new garment of clothing to have with us and have that in mind as well. So try if you have a new suit, a new something, the special shirt, tie, even though we don't normally make a Shechianu in them, but we'll put them both together. The fact that it is a yantiv and the fact that it has something new, so make a Shechianu, the best would be to get a new fruit and have it on the table when you make Kiddush. So let's say you buy the star fruit. So you buy the star fruit, have it on the table when you make Kiddush. When you make a Shechianu, have it in mind, the yantiv and the new fruit. Women, when they light candles, they make a Shechianu, have in mind that new fruit as well. Have it on the table, look at it, and have that in mind when you light candles. And you make Shechianu. Havdalah is a Wednesday night for Rosh Hashanah. No special Havdalah, it's just Hagafen and Hamavdil. No fire, no besamim because of the middle of the week. So just regular Hagafen and Hamavdil. Okay, that is a wrap on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Slichos. Yes, we make Shechianu both days on the candles. The first day is easy, no problem. The second day when you make a Shechianu, try to have in mind a new fruit or a new garment. If you don't, it's fine. You still say it, but yes, Shechianu both days. Okay, now we go. Tu Bitachon. So we're traveling through the Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Daled, and we're dealing with a question which he asked, which is a fascinating question, which is why in the Torah does it not tell us that we get rewarded with Olam Haba for our mitzvahs? We do so many mitzvahs, we're looking forward to not dying, but we're looking forward when we eventually do die to be in Olam Haba. Yet nowhere in the Torah does it say you get this reward, you get Olam Haba. It doesn't say it. So the question is why not? So we've discussed a few answers. The answer he says this week is seemingly very controversial. I said it the last year and it shook people up, which is very interesting. I'm just telling you what he says, and you know, we'll see. He says like this: he says, just because you did your mitzvahs, and just because you did everything right, that's not a guarantee to Olam Haba. We have to do all our mitzvahs and we get reward in this world. And there definitely is reward happening after we die, but it's not a guaranteed ticket to Olam Haba. He says, in order to get to Olam Haba, you still are dependent on the chesed from Hashem. And he says, you also need to make sure you help influence others, that other people see what you're doing and they follow in your ways. You need those two things to get you into Olam Haba. So that's why the Torah didn't say it. The Torah didn't say, if you do this, you get Olam Haba, because it's not a shoo-in. It's not a sure shot. We definitely get reward for everything we do. That's for sure. But is that reward a ticket into Olam Haba? He says that you still are dependent on the chesed from Hashem and also dependent on doing things affecting other people, that other people learn from you, you teach other people. That is the second thing that you need. So again, it's a very bechidish because we're always taught and we learn and we say, everyone gets Olam Haba. And it's definitely true. But what he's trying to say is the correlation between your good deed and Olam Haba is not direct. It's still dependent on these two things. And therefore, we definitely want to have in mind, Davin Hashem, please give me Olam Haba, give me a chesed, also influence other people as best as you can. You don't want to be annoying to other people, but when you have the opportunity to help someone else do something good, you definitely want to score some points doing that. Okay, in davening, we're focusing now on the Davar Hashem Oiri, which is Tehillim Chav Zayin. So last week we discussed the concept of being connected to Hashem and not being afraid of things. Here, Pasuk Dalid, perhaps the most famous Pasuk of the Davar Hashem, because there are a lot of songs written about it. Acha sho'alti ne'is Hashem, oisa avakesh, shifti beit Hashem, ko yimei chayei. So it's very interesting, this double lashon here. There's one thing that I'm asking, acha sho'alti, osa avakesh, that's what I'm asking. It's very redundant. What, just say what you're asking. You're saying, I'm asking one thing, and that's what I'm asking. What's this double lashon? So some want to say that if you request two things, so the person will give you one of them, because they don't want to turn away empty-handed. They don't necessarily want to give you two things. So you know what? They'll give you one. An example is Moshe Rabbeinu Davin to go into Eretz Yisrael and to see Eretz Yisrael. Hashem let him see it, not go in. Not really what he wanted, but he let him see it. He gave him one of the two. So what we're trying to say to Hashem is no deals, no compromises. Well, there's only one thing we want. There's one thing I'm asking, and that's the only thing I want. I'm not asking for two things. I want to dwell in your house. What does dwell in your house mean? It means to always be connected. It means, for sure, based on Migdash, but a little bit more than that. It's always to be davuk b'Hashem, to be clinging to Hashem, to be doing his avodah, his service, and therefore you're always with him. You're always connected to Hashem. That's the only thing we want. Now, through that, everything in our world and our life will be a lot better if we're davuk b'Hashem. But our goal isn't the side benefits. Our goal is one thing, to cling to Hashem, to dwell in his house for that sake. Another example of this is, let's say I want to get a ride on a bus and I need $6 to get onto the train. So I'm going to ask you for $6. I don't want $6. I want the train ride. But I'm going to ask you, can I have $6? But my real bakasho, my real desire is not the $6, it's the train ride. So, I mean, you can ask for one thing, but really the goal is something else. What we're saying over here is our request and our goal are the same. Our request is to be in your house, and that's our goal. There's only one thing we want, one request, one goal. It's not like ulterior motives. We want to do your mitzvahs so that we get reward. That's not why we're doing them. We want to do your mitzvahs. We want to cling to you because we want to do your mitzvahs. We want to cling to you, period. That's what Devar Melech was dominating for. They should have that ability and that recognition. That's what we want, and that's the only thing that we want. Okay, so we have that in mind in the Devar Hashem. And we'll end off this week's parsha is Parshas Ki Tsetse, discussing a very interesting topic, the Fas Toyar, which is that when you're at a war and you see a pretty lady and you really want to marry her and she's already married, it could be still, oh, it's okay, you can marry her. This is fascinating. I want to highlight two parts. First of all, we learned in last week's parsha, if anyone who has done any Aveira, anyone who's a little bit afraid in his heart that he may not be worthy of winning the war, doesn't go to war. So the only people that are at war are the biggest tzaddikim, the ones who have not done aveiros. Can you imagine that? So you are at war. You're at war with the holiest people, the biggest Rosh Hashivas, the biggest rabbis, and the people who have never done any aveiros. They are at war, and they are the ones that are afraid of wanting to marry these guys, ladies. So first of all, you see that no matter who you are and where you are in life, the Yetzer Hara is strong, powerful. We have the biggest Rosh Hashivas at war, and they're still having this taiva for this lady. That's first of all, never trust yourself and don't feel so bad. Having a taiva is normal. But now the question is, what do you do with it? So what you see over here, Reb Chaskel Abramsky points out, fascinating, which is the Torah over here gave you a heter. You have to follow the rules, 30 days, she grows her fingernails, whatever the procedure is. The Torah gave you a heter over here. And Rashi explains, because the Yetzer Hara was so great, you may not have been able to beat it. So he points out, this is the only place in the whole Torah that you're given such a heter. This is the only place in the whole Torah where you may not have been strong enough to beat the Yetzer Hara. But he proves from here, that means everything else, every other challenge in life, you are able to beat. Hashem does not give us any challenge, any test that we can't beat. Because this one, we would not have been able to beat, so Hashem gave us a certain heter to do it, and a certain way of beating it. But that means everywhere else, we are able to beat. And that's something to keep in mind, that when we're going through challenges, whatever the challenge is, if you're given the challenge, it's because Hashem knows you could beat it. Because if you couldn't beat it, he would not have given you that challenge. So have that in mind, the next challenge you are presented with. Once I answer the question, right. So you're asking, as far as when you daven for things, right? We discuss that you do mitzvahs because you want to do it for the mitzvah's sake. We don't do mitzvahs to get rewards. However, it's not, you still are allowed to daven for hatzlacha and ruchnis and gashmis, for your family, for your health. You're allowed to daven for that stuff. And you could say, I'm doing this mitzvah, and b'schus this mitzvah, I want to have health, etc. You could do all that. But that shouldn't be the only reason why you're doing it. Even if you wouldn't get that reward, you still want to do the mitzvah. So we do the mitzvah for the mitzvah's sake. But yes, you are allowed to also daven for other things as well. That's a wrap. Have a good night. Good Shabbos. Mention next week, Hilchas Yom Kippur. All right. Good night. Good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Yudi, looking good.
Rav Goldberg, that was awesome. Thank you.
Alex, I'm glad you're back.
Rav Goldberg, real quick question.
Goodbye, Dr. Thank you. Goodbye, Marty. Goodbye, Yosef.
Rav Goldberg.
Yes.
Quick question on the parsha. Beautiful, amazing idea. This idea that you're going out, that the Yetzer Hara would get us, is it specifically women or women when you're at war?
The case here was women at war. That's the hardest time because you're away from home, you're fighting. That's the most vulnerable time. That was like the highest Yetzer Hara, and that was the Yetzer Hara that we could not have beaten alone. We needed some other way out. That means every other scenario, meaning women at home or war without women, all these other things you could win. This was the hardest one, which was just not beatable.
Right. So, but I'm saying it's dafka women when you're at war, not women when you're at, you know, you're walking around the street.
Yeah. No heter for them. Keep your eyes down, your eyes closed, baby. No heter. No.
Well, no, because I was thinking maybe that's why you have polygamy.
Okay, listen, you're next to your wife. You better be careful. The answer is no, no, and no. And every other challenge you can beat, and beat it.
Okay. No, not that it's that. I'm not saying that in an end.
But no, every other challenge we could beat, and we beat it.
She's Sephardi. They don't have the heter. They don't have the thing.
It's still not a good idea.
She's suddenly denying her Sephardic heritage.
Very nice.
I have to do all Ashkenazi thing for cooking, and now I'm Sephardi. My
God. That's right. Very good.
All right.
Have a good night. Yes, you do.
Thank you.
The whole 3:15 since it's 3:15 on 10 o'clock, I wasn't done Sheva Brachos at 10.
Anyway, it's okay. I'll excuse you. But next week, no Sheva Brachos.
Right.
All right.
Good. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Goodbye, Israel. Okay, goodbye.